This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And this is our first episode of the 2019-2020 offseason since right after the World Series. We're back and we have a lot to talk about. I guess our mantra is that we can skip doing episodes until there is a major cheating scandal in baseball. And then we have to talk about that. So we'll be talking about, of course, the fallout from the Red Sox and the Astros and the Mets. And yeah. Who knows who else is going to get roped into this. We'll also be talking about some of our biggest off-season takeaways, at least thus far. There is still, of course, about a month of off-season left to go. Before we do any of that, a big shout out to Boardwalk Audio and to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their support of the show. Visit BoardwalkAudio.com for lots of great podcasts and OffTheBenchBaseball.com for lots of off-season analysis. We appreciate those two organizations very much. So with that said, let's dive in. Wayland, this is controversial last couple weeks.
Quite
huh?
the deal, huh?
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, where to start even?
That's what I was just trying to think, where to start. I've been talking to off-mentioned listener of the podcast, Evan, a lot about it. Mm-hmm. His big question, and I think the big question I see is, we might start there, does this feel bigger than the steroid scandal? Does this feel more devastating? Does this feel more important? Does this feel like a bigger,
not to me,
deal?
Yeah. I would say, like, at least at the current state, right? It is still pretty limited, even though we've heard rumblings like, oh, there's going to be a lot more to come.
Right.
So far, really, it's been limited to, you know, the Astros losing some draft picks, getting fined, and suspension / firing of their GM and manager, and then the managers of the Red Sox and the Mets, right?
Right.
No other players have been named.
Right.
There's been lots of scuttlebutt about vibrating piece of wearable technology that maybe
from a fake niece
from
account.
A fake niece of Carlos Beltran. Like, we are getting,
this is the juicy stuff, right? Like, the fake niece
and
account.
It's been deep in the weeds for sure of, like, what is real, what is not. But so far, it's been limited. It's not like,
it doesn't seem like a league-wide epidemic.
It seems like other teams will be involved or get sort of connected to it, but it does not seem like, oh, this is something that has fundamentally transformed baseball as we know it over the last decade, which
there won't
was
be like,
the
not gonna
result
be like
of the steroid scandal.
There's not going to be the stealing signs era of baseball.
Yeah, like, where we look back and we're like, holy shit, how do we miss all of this, you know?
I agree. I do think that it seems like to players this is a bigger deal. And I've heard people who talked about people that didn't even play in the majors, but like, and Alex Wood had the tweet that he was like, I'd much rather pitch to someone on steroids than someone who knows every pitch.
That's
and
interesting.
I think to me, I'm gathering, if you're a player, this is like almost one of the most unforgivable things you can do, like a pitcher especially, and other batters who say like, this is bullshit, like I would never tweet. I've seen interviews with like Hank Aaron, or I'd never cheat. I mean, I've seen interviews with like Hank Aaron from the past, because there are other teams who have stole signs that say like, I would never do this. This is like the one line I would never cross. Like, and so it feels like player wise, this might be like, I think it might be a bigger deal to the people actually in the game than how it feels to fans. Cause to me, I always kind of assumed this was happening anyway. Like, this isn't as big of a shock to me. Maybe like this, how systematic it was as a shock. But I honestly, if you would have asked me a year ago, like, do people have cameras and are stealing signs? I'd probably have been like, yeah. Like, why wouldn't they be? Like, we've already, like, the Blue Jays got busted. Like, or,
right.
I
guess it's shocking to me only in how successful it was and, like, how, or it seems to have been, right? Like,
yeah.
For all we know, the Astros were and are a loaded team. Like, they might have won
right.
the World Series anyway, but the fact that they were doing it for so long and it took so long for it to come out, I guess, is the shocking part to me, versus like steroids was, you know, it unfolded over a long period of time,
right?
Of we think there might be steroid users. Okay, there's a lot of steroid users. Okay, everybody's using steroids. Like, it became like this sort of thing where over a period of like a few years, it was like, oh, everybody's using steroids. Okay. This was like, that felt gradual to me, versus like this, it was like, oh, the Astros may have been stealing signs to... The Astros were stealing signs, and so were a bunch of other teams, and there's like hell to pay.
Yeah.
You know, that's what...
It does feel more like a hammer.
More quickly.
It's like a hammer drop more than, like a slow bleed. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's very crazy and shocking, and I've been thinking about it constantly. I'm not trying to undersell, but to me, I guess it... Like, when I think about it, it's just like, oh, yeah, okay, they're finally getting busted for a thing that I kind of, in the back of my mind, assumed... was already happening. Like, I also, it's just the way you assume that like football players are probably still taking steroids because there's not a great testing like, you know what I mean? It's like, would you be shocked if it came out that like 9 defensive linemen in football were taking steroids?
No. I mean, I guess you should assume, right, that like in something so hyper competitive, like of course people are going to push the bounds and do everything that they can. And of course there is a rich history of cheating in baseball, right? Everything from, you know, putting pine tar on your hands as pitchers, which is another thing that the Astros have been accused of, to like corking your bats, to whatever, whatever it may be.
And it's just like, I mean, at mound visits, like coaches and pitchers and catchers that cover their mouths, like they're aware that people are filming them. Like,
I guess it's using the cameras and using the technology is like the new difference of the replay room. Like, maybe there's a fine line between like, oh, if you're the runner on second and you can sort of figure out the signs and somehow indicate them, like that's fair game.
More,
but if
like...
you're using outside personnel, that's different. I mean, it is interesting to me that the players are so, offended isn't quite the right word, but the players are taking it so seriously. That is interesting to me, and that indicates to me that they feel like there's some fundamental level of competitive trust that has been breached.
And that's why I think it feels different to players than to us, because we're not part, like, we don't know what the like unwritten rules to that level are of like what's okay to like cheat the rules and what is like the unforgivable, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like this is like an unforgivable sin. Like, it feels like this is some sort of, if you are in baseball, this is a thing that you don't do.
Yeah. Also, I mean, of course, the fact that it was in the World Series and that they won the World Series is
that's the other thing. I think if it came out that like last year's Mets were doing this, it would just be like a laughable, some garbage team, or if the Marlins were doing it.
The fact that the Astros, like, it was sort of hot on the heels of this like Brandon Taubman thing, and like the Astros have not made any friends in the larger baseball world, let's say, over the Lunau tenure.
Yeah, they took a definite heel turn in this like this. It feels like wrestling them. Like, it's so, and I think that the punishments are what's more shocking. Like, this is literally the third time a manager has ever been suspended.
Year. Or I was going to ask, do you think the punishments were appropriate? Because I think there's a hard divide between people who think like, no, that's appropriate, and people who are like, vacate the World Series, like contract the Astros, whatever.
Yeah, I think that vacating titles is the dumbest
thing in any sport.
It's so fucking stupid.
It's meaningless.
It's so meaningless. Everyone remembers that Reggie Bush won the Heisman the year he won the Heisman. So now when you see a list of it, it just says vacated. And then you look it up and you see that, like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And so I do not
I'd rather have an asterisk than, like, a vacated, like, thing, too, just for that exact reason. I mean,
the 1919 Reds don't have an asterisk, even though they won the World Series against a team tank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's slightly different because, like, it's hard to take a win away from someone who actually won like that. But it's like, I hate that. I think it's just like it happened and they won the World Series. They got the rings. They got the trophy.
Yeah.
No, I
thought that, you know, when I first saw the punishments for the Astros, I thought, like, actually it was pretty fair. I mean, losing four like high draft picks is like, that seems equivalent to what another league would do. I think the one thing that I wish there would have been is like, find the players. Like, I get that you don't have to, you can't suspend them because they're on other teams and it's like sort of hearsay a little bit, but like you can suspend, you can fine players like part of their World Series share. That doesn't feel like an overreach to me.
No, I think there should be a way to punish. Yeah, I agree with that. That doesn't punish the clubs who signed the players who aren't on the Astros.
Yeah, I do think it's really interesting. I'm curious. When I saw the suspensions, I did not assume that the Astros were going to fire Hinch and Lanau. I felt like
I didn't either. That
I was surprised when they fired them, and then it seemed like that was sort of setting the bar going forward as well, where like if those guys got fired, of course Cora got fired, and if Cora got fired, like of course the Mets have to fire Beltran as well. Like that was interesting to me and feels like almost like extra judicial justice in a way of like this is outside the scope of like the commissioner's office, but they were probably like, here's what we think we can do in terms of suspensions, but like leaned on the Astros organization to do more,
see if there's some self-governance.
Yeah,
and there was.
Yeah, for sure.
I like at first I was like, it does feel like the punishment isn't so great that it wasn't worth it for the Astros, especially the fans. I mean, they still got the title.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And
you
would
trade the title for the punishment.
I think
anytime.
That's a valid argument. But then once I started reading, and then the fact that $5 million is the most they could fine, and that's just like the rules.
That's a dumb
rule. That's nothing. Yeah. But I think that once I read more about how like Hinch didn't participate and actually actively tried to stop it, like by smashing the monitors or whatever. Did you read that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, then that kind of made it, that sent a better message because MLB was saying, here's a person. It was the Black Sox thing. Like Joe Jackson, they said Shoeless Joe Jackson didn't actually throw the World Series, but he knew about it. And I think that sends a message of like Hinch didn't participate, but knowing about it means you're culpable. And I think that actually sends a good message of like even if you know about it, you could get punished, which I think maybe helps. Because at first I was like, well, people will still do this in the future if like 3 years later you just lose your manager and $5 million and some draft picks. But if it starts to figure out like, oh, you can get punished if you know about it, then I think that might clamp down on it a little more.
Yeah, and I think like people are underestimating sort of the severity of the them losing their jobs, right? In addition, is like if you're a front office person, you don't want to be blacklisted in this way. Like you don't want to be Lanau or like Coppola or whatever. Like,
well, that's the Coppola has actually got banned for life.
Right, exactly.
That's the other interesting thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, right. That MLB deemed it not as bad as sort of circumventing. Although I do think like you can't be signing a 14-year-old Dominican kid to a contract and like with
I think
human traffickers and all this
shit. I think that's way worse than than stealing signs on the field, because ultimately this is pretty trivial.
Right, it doesn't literally harm somebody. Yeah. Or it doesn't... Yeah.
It harms the integrity of the game. And still, I don't think as much as... I don't think it harms the integrity of the game as much as steroids.
Yeah.
I agree with you as a fan, for sure. Sorry, I totally...
No, it's okay. I think people are underestimating that, and I think... what I was going to say was Joe Posnanski made a really interesting point about sort of Hinch destroying the TV and all of that, but not saying anything, which is that it sort of indicates... Like, if you think about it, like, why would you do that instead of just saying, hey, cut this out, like... if you're the boss of the team, and sort of what it indicates, maybe it's all hearsay hypothetical, is that this actually was like directly from the front office and was like sort of a
rock and a hard place situation.
Yeah. Right. Like this was a directive, like despite Lanau saying in a statement, he didn't know about it or whatever. This was actually something that like they were helping Alex Cora do, who was hired directly by the front office and not by Hinch. So
I mean, there's no way Cora could set all that up with some sort of front office help.
Right, exactly. And so, like, if you're Hinch, then it's like, well, you can't say anything because both your subordinate and your boss are the ones executing this. So maybe the only thing that you can do is, like, try to stop them by destroying this TV, you know? Which I think is really interesting, and I would be very curious. I mean, Hinch didn't throw anybody under the bus, which is sort of indicative of, like, either he's... has a little bit of moral fiber, or he like Didn't want to make things worse or something like that.
I think it's like a macho sports snitches get stitches.
You think?
Culture thing. Of course it is. No one's saying anything. Like, the only reason this blew up is because Fires let people.
Fire is national hero.
Yeah, I've seen a lot that says if he would have had to do it anonymously, this like story might not have blown up in the same way, because now that we had a name attached to it, like then that's how it really blew up. I don't blame Fires, whatever. Talk about whatever you feel, because it seems like some players truly hate this.
Yeah.
Like, I've never quite seen a player reaction like this, feel like.
Right.
Like, I think that's the big thing is...
Well, and again, I think it goes back to the Astros being the Astros as well, of like Trevor Bauer has tweeted about it a lot, and he's sort of had an axe to grind against the Astros for like several years. Like, he's been tweeting about the Astros doing below
shady,
the belt shit for years, you know?
What a heel turn. Who was the White Sox player that they first...
Oh, Danny Farquhar.
Danny Farquhar almost blew the whole thing up in 2017.
the Astros were so scared of the 2017 White Sox that they had to cheat.
Do you think, so this is what I was going to say, do you think Lunau and Hinch and now Cora and Beltran are blacklisted? I think Hinch will have a job in 2 years.
I think Hinch will have another job. In fact, if the White Sox were to move on from Rick Renteria, I'd be like, hire AJ Hinch. Like, he's a good manager.
I feel like he'd be the perfect for any squad that will need a new manager once they get good. Yeah. I feel like if Ross seems like a train wreck, then I was like,
No, I think Hinch will... I'll be interested. I think Lunau is the most interesting one. Mm-hmm. I think Cora will not get another manager job for a very long time. Like, maybe... You know, you could see in 3 or 4 years somebody takes him on as like a bench coach or a third base coach or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a long time before he gets a manager job.
Especially, we'll see how bad the Red Sox report's going to be.
Right.
I think that's
going to
really.
Yeah. I have sort of the over under on that as like 3.5 years suspension.
I was going to say, I bet it gets 3 years.
Like 3 years was my instinct, but like depending on
how bad
what
it is.
Comes out, like 5 years or life is on the table, I think.
Man.
Especially since people have sort of been complaining that like,
only two managers have been banned for life. That's crazy.
You could make the argument that he like cheated enough to steal two World Series. Like
it's
sort of like a
from the Dodgers.
from the Dodgers. Poor Dodgers.
Fan.
Dodgers fans are the ones who are most pissed off. It seems.
Oh,
like.
They're so
they're
mad.
Like fucking give us the trophy. Like give us and Yankees fans now too because of the. Altuve home run off Chapman the ALCS. I don't know. Beltran, I have no idea if he would have been a good manager to begin with. If like anything, I could see the Mets like hiring him again in 2 years.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like that.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I think Hinch will definitely work again. Lunau is the one I'm really curious about.
Yeah,
because like he has gotten so much praise and so much criticism for the way in which he went about rebuilding the Astros. And like, obviously it became a massive success. And how much of that success can you separate from the cultural problems up and down the organization? This being the most glaring example, but there have been many others, you know? And so I think it'll probably take a team in a small market that does not have much media attention or has nothing to lose, right? Like if it's the Marlins
like
or
the
something
Reds
like that.
Or
the Rockies.
Ooh,
like
Rockies is actually really perfect.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be perfect?
The only thing that's not perfect about the Rockies is that they never fire their front office. Like
So there's not gonna be
like is O'Dowd still in charge or they replaced him? He got promoted.
I don't know. I'm sorry. This is an interruption. This is not breaking because it's like an hour ago, but now Jack McDowell is saying Tony La Russa stole signs using cameras.
Whoa.
Back when he was with the White Sox.
Whoa. This is going down. Okay, forget what we said about everything earlier. Fucking Hall of Fame managers going down with the ship, baby.
This is what...
Next
we're
going to find out, like... Cal Ripken, who's the most beloved player?
Oh my
Tony
God.
Gwynn. Gwynn got 3,000 hits off of stolen signs.
That's why they never left. That's why they didn't want to re-sign. all these career guys never left because
they didn't want to
get... they had a good system in place.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Everyone's just gonna start pouring over home road splits for all these people to see.
Derek Jeter. The only one who's clean is Alex Rodriguez. He never stole signs.
Yeah, I didn't need signs. I was huge.
Yeah, we get Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire coming out being like, I never stole signs in my adult career. This game was clean when I played.
But this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, we know, like, the 51 Giants cheated. There was, like, a 40s in, like, it's all, and I know video adds, like, a new element, but it's like, this is, it doesn't feel that new to me. Like, we know that the shot heard around the world was from a stolen sign.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, a fact.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is this, like, that? Again, I think the systematicness of it and the use of technology and how it seemed to, like, permeate the whole organization and how, like, Cora was this crazy mastermind makes it feel different. But it's like, I think that's why it wasn't as shocking, is like, oh, yeah, like, this has always been happening.
Who's going to write the tell-all book, do you think?
Oh, from this Astros organization?
Or just like, yeah, somebody
it's gonna be
in baseball
it's gonna
right
be
now.
Some, I mean, think about how many, like, Dallas Times writers, you know, are like trying, like, to, like, make their career by,
well, sure. Or is it like, you know, Sean Doolittle or somebody like some sort of, or Dan Heron,
Sean Doolittle is
popular,
a good,
like,
someone,
media figure who's like, right. or baseball media figure who, like, can give the dirt on everything.
Oh, to blow it. I think that's the interesting thing is, like, I've seen a lot of pushback about, like, only guilty people say every team's doing, like, everyone's doing it, right? And I don't think that every team is necessarily doing it and doing it like this. But
well,
I have a very hard time believing that not every team has some sort of sign-stealing system in place. Or most teams. Or a lot of teams.
Well, I mean, it's part of the job description of, like, what, the bench coach?
Yeah.
To, like, decode the third base signs and the
right.
Like, that kind of thing. I think, like, yeah, it's just about...
I don't think every team has, like...
This is, like, the unwritten rules, like, right? Like, what is acceptable and what breaks... What is over the line, and the line is probably different for everybody.
Yeah, but I would have a hard time believing that this stops at the 2017 Astros and 2018 Red Sox.
I mean, I do think that McDowell-La Russa thing is crazy. I think the difference is, like, using outside technology, and that's what got the Red Sox in trouble with the eye watches, and that's sort of,
with,
like,
the Blue
even
Jays
if you
were
look,
doing that too when they got accused.
Even if you look, like, across sports with, like, the Patriots and all that, like, that seems to me to be the thing that, like, goes over the line.
I'm it's not like saying using, it doesn't cross the line
using
yeah.
technology live to communicate information. Like, if you just see it and you can decode it, that's one thing. But if you have somebody in the stands and somebody,
like,
in the clubhouse and, like, all of this shit, like, then that's a scandal.
I'm not trying to underplay the scandal or how shitty it is, but I keep just going back to, like, some people I feel like I've talked to are just, like, so shocked and blown away, and I guess I just am, like,
yeah.
The extent is shocking, but, like, the crime isn't that shocking, I guess.
But that's sort of how you and I land on, like, steroids a little bit, too. And,
sure.
like, most of these scandals is, like, yeah, it's a big deal, but, like, is it that surprising that somebody would want to gain a competitive advantage?
Yeah.
And also, like, okay, it happened. Like, punish the people, I guess, but, like, that's not going to change what literally happened in real life in the past.
And
like,
now we can,
you know, there's no way to get that back, so it's not worth, again, going back to, like, vacating the title or like, you know, banning the players. I think is like,
no,
there's
I
only
think
so
there
much
should be a
do.
Way to punish the players, but
I think fine
because that's because that's gonna, like, if the players feel like they can get away with it, then it's just gonna be like, oh, well, why don't let's just not get Alex Cora involved next time, like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, that's true. I think it also depends on what kind of hard evidence there is. Mm-hmm. You can't just go off of, like, somebody saying these are the players who are doing it, right?
Right.
You sort
oh,
of
yeah,
need...
yeah. Or Altuve didn't want his shirt ripped off because he'd know he
right.
Let the
you sort of need
out.
A little bit more more evidence.
Yeah, and maybe there is.
Maybe.
I mean, it seems like I do think that you can't accuse Major League Baseball of not taking this seriously, even if they're handling it poorly or if it's too late because there are all these reports that they knew about it like 2 years ago.
Well,
and
I think...
that they didn't do anything because no one else knew about it. And so. But I think now they're at least trying to.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I've seen them accused of, and I think this is probably true, is, like, it really seems like with the Astros punishment and, like, whatever forthcoming Cora punishment, they really wanted to seem as if, like, well, we've taken care of this. Like, we've explored the problem and stopped the problem, and now it is all concluded. So like, don't worry about baseball anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas like, it doesn't seem like they're necessarily invested in finding new teams who might.
You're right about
that. Call into question even more of the competitive legitimacy of the game.
They're definitely hoping that like this is like, look what happens now. No one else do it.
Yeah.
Like they're really they're hoping that.
And no one else has, and no one else will. I think the interesting thing about like other teams doing it is like, obviously not every team has done it well, right? Like, if the White Sox were doing it, they fucking sucked at it because they lost 100 games.
The Blue Jays thing is a perfect example. The year they did it, I mean, I guess like they were good then, but they didn't win the World Series, and it's the Blue Jays.
So how much can it help? How much has it helped? Like,
when the Astros and supposedly stopped doing it because it wasn't as helpful as they thought.
Right, yeah. And even if they were, like, even say the White Sox had the exact same scheme as the Astros going, did they get punished the same amount, even though they lost 100 games that year? You know, like, is that still cheating if you lose 100 games? Like, maybe they would have lost 105. Who knows? Like, do those games matter?
But that's when you start saying, like, did those five games they would have lost, would they have gone to a team that didn't make the playoffs by three games?
Exactly. I mean, there's, like, a lot of contingencies. It's like, how are they punished on the same scale as the Astros?
What if we found out that Mike Trout was getting signs?
That'd be crazy.
That would be the biggest. That would be the biggest. That would maybe destroy baseball.
No.
If we found out that someone
destroy
who
destroy baseball?
Not destroy, but I think that would
if
be
Mark
the biggest
McGuire
hit.
And Barry Bonds didn't destroy baseball, Mike Trout's not going to destroy baseball.
Wow, but that would be so devastating.
It would.
To find out that the person who we all thought might be the best player ever was just getting pitches tipped to him the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is happening, and also Mike Trout seems like a pretty stand-up guy. So
you would also assume, like, well, if Albert Pujols had every... Like, it wouldn't just be Mike Trout and the Angels, right? So why is Albert Pujols hitting 220 with like 16 homers?
That's a good point. But why is Aldrinson Simmons so good all of a sudden?
Great question.
This is the shitty thing, is that you don't want to start like throwing out.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, man. I have heard the take of like, if only people cared about baseball, this would be a bigger deal. And it is true, like if this was an NBA or NFL scandal.
Yeah,
I don't know
what
the equivalent is. But like if someone had tapped into the earpiece of an NFL helmet.
Well, it would be Deflategate, right?
But it would be way bigger than Deflategate. If there was like something where the straight up, because the equivalent is that some team figured out a way to technologically
what
the plays were.
Yeah.
And I think if it was the NFL, it would be one of the biggest sports stories of all time. Like it would.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think it would be bigger than like the NFL or the NBA. Like
it's also the Astros.
Ref scandal.
It'd be interesting. It'd be different if it was the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Mets or the Dodgers. Like,
But my point was, when people say if only people cared about baseball, my point was we're talking about baseball. Like, I think ultimately this might not be the worst thing.
True. Yeah,
it's
a reason to talk about baseball, especially in the off season.
Baseball is so rarely in the news in the off season, especially during football season.
Yeah,
that I do think.
What kind of stinks about it? The other side of that is like, this was actually, compared to the last 2 years, a very healthy, exciting off season for baseball, like in terms of player movement and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was
and
a
it's
good
like,
off season.
Well, now nobody gives a shit about Gerrit Cole, right? All we're talking about is the Astros. Yeah.
But the nice thing about baseball is that it moves quickly once the season starts.
Yeah, there will be lots of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I do feel like unless there is more evidence that comes out that other teams cheated last year, like if the Nationals start to get named, which I have not seen anything, I'm not saying, but that's if it feels like anything more current is happening, I think that's going to taint it. But if not, if it does seem like the MLB successfully says, like, it was a problem, here are the punishments, it's not a problem anymore, right, teams? As soon as, you know, Ohtani pitches his first game or Gerrit Cole pitches, like, it's going to start to fade.
I guess the interesting thing for me going forward and like into the season that might be a storyline is like, I'm really interested to see how the Astros are going to be this year. They don't have a general manager. They don't have a manager. They still have a really good team, but some of their players are implicated in this huge scandal that has to be very stressful, whether it's true or not, right? Like, either it's every aspect of it is true, including the buzzers, and like Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman are now nervous that they're going to be suspended for a year or blacklisted or something,
or
it's not true, at least the buzzer part, and they're but they've still gone through an ordeal, or I mean, maybe it motivates them to be better. Like, I'll be really interested to see. I think the NL West will be a lot more interesting, or the AL West will be a lot more interesting because of this.
I think you're right. And regardless if it's true, now Altuve and Bregman, and I think especially Altuve, because that was his year. Like, Bregman's named in this buzzer thing, but Altuve is, like, in the middle of
right,
this.
Right, that was his MVP year, right?
They have to. Yeah. They have the pressure to prove that they're good without stealing signs.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't. Even if they are as innocent as they could be in this
right.
scenario.
But that's a lot of pressure to go pressure. Into a season.
Yeah.
Under.
They have that pressure to say, like, and the Sox kind of do, but no one's really, I guess Mookie Betts does, because 2018 was his MVP year, and that's when Cora showed up. Yeah. So, and we don't know that report yet, but yeah, I think you're right. I think that puts crazy pressure on these teams, but I think it does make things interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we'll certainly be following the story during spring training and as the season starts.
Oh, I think the other interesting, this is the last kind of thing. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I wonder if home runs are going to be down, because if this is a problem on multiple teams, like, is hitting going to be down? Mm. But also, the balls might be different again.
Yeah.
So then we can't even, like, do a one-to-one comparison, because are we going to get the playoff balls, or are we going to get the balls from the previous 2.5 years before that?
Yeah.
And so shit could be down anyway because of whatever the balls thing is also being completely lost, how we have no idea what ball we're getting in 2020.
Yeah, I think there's like a weird amount of like overarching league uncertainty going into yeah. this season that we're not used to, and it could make things very compelling, or it could make things like very weird and like not fun. I don't know which yeah. one it's going to be.
I think yeah, and the other thing is I think a lot of people are saying that the union is what's getting in the players' union is what's getting in the way of punishments, which how is this going to affect the bargaining agreement that is
yeah.
impending?
Yeah,
because obviously they have so much power that it might be scaring the front or the MLB from going after players.
Right, they don't want to add another thing to the negotiating table.
Yeah.
In a way, I mean, it seems like they could fine them though under the.
Current CBA,
agreement. I guess
yeah.
you would just need hard evidence as opposed
to... Yeah, I don't...
And, like, Manfred interviewed a bunch of players. He wanted to get honest evidence from them against the team.
Oh, there could have been, like,
not,
an immunity...
Well,
promise.
Not immunity, necessarily. I mean, they did sort of promise immunity yeah. from the beginning. They were like, we're not going to... We don't want to suspend players because we need somebody to speak honestly on that. So
yeah.
that could be part of it, too.
Well, man, it's going to be, I think it's interesting. I ultimately think, I think it's to be seen how bad for baseball this is going to be.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of things on the internet where a lot of fans are really fucked up about it. But to me, it's just like good theater.
It is dramatic.
But also, I'm sure. not a Dodgers or Astros yeah. or Red Sox or Yankees fan.
I can imagine myself being pretty upset if it was my team that lost the
especially
World
Series. Especially the Dodgers, who maybe got fucked by Cora twice.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, they should have stolen signs, I guess. If there's any lesson here, it's that the Dodgers should have cheated. Well, like I said, we'll be discussing in spring training and as the season starts. For now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after that with some thoughts on the off-season, other aspects of the off-season player movement and that kind of thing. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right. We are back, and we are talking the rest of the off-season.
Because it has been a great off-season.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened. So what we're going to do is we're going to just each give sort of three short takeaways of things we're interested in watching as the season gets closer, things that we think are impactful or just fascinating. You want to start, Waylon?
Sure. I think the first thing that I am looking forward to is, you know what? I don't know if you're going to say it because we didn't have a meeting about it. I'm very interested in seeing what the White Sox look like.
Oh.
I'm still very much rooting against them.
Ah,
but
shit.
I think that they had like a pretty... I mean, you're obviously following it way more closely to me, but I've been generally impressed with the way they've handled their offseason. And I think that division... we'll probably talk about it later. I have been the opposite of impressed with the way the Indians have handled their offseason.
For sure.
And I think the Twins have done a good job. Maybe I should just say I don't want to like step on anything else you're going to say. The Central, I think, is going to be AL Central is going to be interesting, because I think despite the fact that I like what the Twins have done, it seems like a volatile team anyway about can they repeat their success. So I think the White Sox have put themselves in a position to do well in that division and in the AL overall without making any moves that seems like they're compromising their future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have been very happy with this White Sox offseason. I mean, there's things that I wish they had done that sort of are outside the realms of realistic possibility, you know, like get Garrett Cole and like that kind of thing. But, you know, considering their limitations, many of which are self-imposed, and considering the like number of holes that they had, they've pretty much addressed every hole on last season's team in one way or another. And like, you know, Yasmani Grandal is a huge addition, and
I couldn't be happier
with that one.
And a great deal for the White Sox too.
Keuchel, he's fine. Steve Cishek, he's fine. Encarnacion, I like a lot. Nomar Mazara, not a huge fan.
No.
So it's like up and down. I think it's been up and down, but I'm happy with their aggressiveness, and they'll certainly be a lot better. I mean, the Luis Robert extension to get him at the beginning of the season is huge. So yeah, I think they're fascinating and will be much better. And I'm very excited to watch a team that does not suck ass. I didn't have them on like my three things list, but like I did have the AL Central in a way, which like my takeaway was sort of like fuck the Twins, which is my general takeaway, but like I thought the White Sox had had clearly the best offseason in the division until
here
like
comes
2 days
Donaldson.
Ago. Yeah, and like honestly, like Donaldson was about the best move that the Twins could make.
Well, because now Sano could go to first, so like it's like a double good move.
They're basically replacing CJ Krohn, who was worth like a win last year, with Josh Donaldson, who was worth like six wins last year. And so like the Twins already projected as a better team than the White Sox, just all around, because they have a little bit more proven track record with a lot of their young guys, you know, Max Kepler and Jorge Polanco and those kind of guys. So they already, I would say, were probably the favorite, at least by a little bit. And then they just added a ton of breathing room with Donaldson. And Donaldson always crushes the White Sox.
He's the extra.
he's like so good. I've wanted Donaldson on the White Sox for many, many years. And the fact that he went to the Twins is like super frustrating.
I could get that. And I do. I think you're right. I think that there were a lot of articles, and they were, and just if you're a baseball fan, I think that you could very easily have talked yourself into the White Sox competing for that division.
Right.
And then I think you're right. I think that the Twins made it harder for you to, a lot more has to go right for the White Sox now.
Yeah,
it
totally.
It has to be more
and
of a perfect situation.
A lot more has to go wrong for the Twins.
There has to be a lot more
regression. Before they signed Donaldson, you could see like, oh, there's a lot that could go wrong with this team. I mean, maybe Nelson Cruz gets old. They're relying on Homer Bailey to give them a lot of innings. They're relying on Rich Hill to come back at some point.
Yeah.
Like, even Jake Odorizzi was, like, good last year, but is he going to be that good again? Like, there were a lot of question marks that remain, but they now have this guy who, assuming he's healthy, has always been good, right? So he, like, he's a great insurance policy, for sure.
Yeah, it was really great. But I still think the White Sox will be fun to watch, and I think that they'll give those teams trouble. And I think they could hang in the wild card race.
Yeah, totally.
Especially considering what we just talked about with who knows what the Red Sox are going to do.
Right, and if everything goes well, like they could win 95 games, for sure. Like, it just, the White Sox question marks are a lot bigger, and they don't have that sort of superstar insurance policy.
I think, to me, I like what the White Sox... traditionally like this move where you're on the cusp but you don't make any big splashes, because they still like Kopech is coming back, right?
Kopech.
And they still have like, and then like Jimenez had, like there's these players that had their first like true good years. And so I think it's nice to see if the White Sox, if they can, this is the season to see really what they have.
Right.
With some of the young guys, and then now they can, and then they could really gear up for 2020. To me, it looks like a nice upward project. This is like a perfect, for where the White Sox are, like a perfect white season or off season. They could have made these big splashes, but I think it's okay that they didn't.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, the question for them is less about how the free agents perform, because it'd be nice if Edwin Encarnacion hits 40 home runs, yeah. but, you know, he's 37 or whatever. Yeah. Like, the real question is guys like Moncada and Anderson and Jimenez, you know, who had pretty good years last year, good to great, let's say. Like, can they get better than that? Or is that their ceiling and they're going to take a step backwards?
And it would be terrible if you saw Anderson take a huge dip and Moncada, and then they have, and if they would have made, like, now you have two big contracts to maybe not a great team.
Right.
So I like it. And I think just what you said, they're going to be fun to watch.
For sure.
And traditionally, the White Sox have made terrible moves. Yes. And this is the first time,
and
maybe you've,
not fun at all.
You've seen them actually build momentum in a way that makes sense.
Yeah. There's been a lot of comparison to the 2015 offseason, I think, which is when they signed David Robertson and Adam LaRoche and Melky Cabrera and traded for Jeff Samardzija. And I like this offseason leaps and bounds more. So it's really the first offseason since, like, they traded for Jim Thome that I can be like, wow, I really like a lot of the moves that the White Sox did.
I hate that I had to like it, but I definitely liked the way the White Sox handled this.
But I'll say so that was one of mine, was sort of the Twins thing.
Okay.
My number one thing was the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, nobody's talking about how good the Yankees are going to be,
mm-hmm.
but they won 103 games last year. They added the best pitcher in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. And last season they got, like, 12 games from Giancarlo Stanton and, like, 10 innings from Luis Severino.
And they really only got, like 50 games from Judge?
Yeah, they didn't get very many games from Judge. Miguel Andujar missed, like, the entire season.
That was, like, the big talk at the beginning of the year is how hit that they were getting with injuries.
Yeah. And then instead of, like, crumpling, they found, like, Mike Tauchman, and Aaron Hicks had a good year, although he's injured again. And, like, Torres obviously had a good year.
Uh-huh.
Gary Sanchez didn't have a good year. Like, they were won 103 games, and they have so much upside to be better. Like, the Yankees should, by all rights, win 110 games this year.
I mean, now that the Astros are probably, like we talked about, like, might just be in their heads all season, like, the path is pretty clear for the Yankees to be the best team in baseball.
I think that they probably should have been the favorites, even if none of this Astros shit happened.
And now it seems like they definitely should be.
Because not only did they add the best pitcher in baseball, they took him away from the Astros.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the Astros lost the best pitcher in baseball, which nobody is talking about amidst all of this sort of, you know, scandal stuff. And so I'm, like, scared of the Yankees. Like, the Yankees are just going to come in and fucking blow the doors off everybody, assuming that they get even a hint of injury luck.
Yeah, no argument. I completely agree with you. Yeah,
I'm super interested to watch that happen because, like, you know, as much as I hate the Yankees, it's always fun to watch awesome baseball players be awesome at baseball.
Well, and it's hard to hate Stanton and Judge, I think, is part of it.
And, like, I think, I don't know. I just am surprised that more people aren't like, hey, the Yankees are fucking going to dominate this league.
I think we needed 5 more years of the Yankees not being good for people to be willing to be excited about the Yankees again.
I think people need to get excited about them. You could be fearful of them, you know?
No one wants to talk about the Yankees because
they're just always the Yankees.
Since 1994, we've been talking about nothing but the Yankees.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, which is, I mean, deserved. They had the best team for so long. And, like, maybe there was a time in the late 90s, early 2000s where it was a little lame. But, like, there's Yankees fatigue. It's the same with the Patriots in football. Like, everyone's just over it. And I really do truly think the Yankees had to stink for 10 years or be middling for anybody to be willing to talk. But I think you're right about it.
Yeah.
But I think people are just tired. People are over the Yankees. But, and then, people are going to be talking about them all year.
Yeah.
Like, especially, I mean, like, what the dream scenario is that Cole has, like, a better year than last year. And at the same time, Judge and Stanton are each on pace to hit over 60. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, that's pretty extreme. But
it's not crazy.
Over 60?
Home runs? Stanton hit 59 and Judge hit 52 like 2 years or 3 years ago. Like,
right. But, like, that's what I'm saying is you'd have to have two guys with their career best season, both of those guys.
But they both have that potential, especially Stanton.
Yeah, but
I'm saying on pace. I'm saying in June.
Right.
If they're sitting, you know, if going into June, they're each sitting at 22, people are going to talk 60.
Yeah.
And like, but that's the scenario that is going to get the Yankees up there is like you have another Mantle Maris. And then at the same time, you have Gerrit Cole being Gerrit Cole. And then whatever other random storylines going on. I don't think it can happen or will happen. I'm just saying that's kind of the most realistic, but also I think it's realistic. I think it's realistic that mid-season those two are 60 isn't out of the question if they stay healthy.
Sure, yeah.
And if the balls are
the
not
same
dead,
as they were,
not
right.
dead.
Yeah. No, it's not impossible, but like that and mid-season, sure, it would be pretty insane if two
oh,
guys
yeah.
hit 60
if
home
it,
runs.
If they're if it's like September 10th and they're sitting on 55, that's going to be
nutty.
Truly remarkable.
Yeah. what is your your next one?
My next one is I mean, we talk about a lot, but like I generally like what the Angels did, and now again because the Astros might be reeling, I think that
the division's a lot more interesting than it was last
also
year.
Also,
sure.
Were you going to talk about the Rangers as one of yours?
No.
So I'll just talk about maybe the West,
the NL West.
Yeah. Or AL West, like
AL West. That's
I know the Angels didn't
that.
Address their biggest thing, which is they needed Gerrit Cole or Strasburg. Like that's, and everyone thought that they were going to get Cole, but everything else they did was really solid.
Yeah, I mean, failing getting Gerrit Cole, like they signed the second or third best player on the market,
the best position player on the market.
Yeah, I mean, they needed wins wherever they could get them,
yeah.
right? So, like, yeah, they did. I mean, getting Anthony Rendon is huge. That's probably like the most overlooked move of the offseason, I would say, as far as like star caliber players,
yeah.
just because it's the Angels and it's not, you know, it's not Cole Strasburg and it's Rendon, who's a superstar, but not thought of as a superstar
right.
in many ways.
And it was just like every baseball fan knew that they needed a pitcher. And so
right.
I think that because they got the best position player, but it wasn't a pitcher.
Yes.
And they didn't even get Wheeler. Like they didn't even get Tehran was the pitcher that they got.
Yeah.
So
they
I think
Tehran and Dylan Bundy to their rotation,
sure.
which will be helpful. That's
yeah.
a lot of innings you could see
yeah.
being, you know, league average or whatever. I mean, the real question for them
is
what
Ohtani
can
yeah.
bring.
But
if Ohtani is an ace, that's a very,
that's
very, very good team.
A hell of a good team. And I think that I read that they might hit him more
yeah.
when he's not pitching.
Well, I read that they're going to hit him when he is pitching, which I think
oh, right.
they should have been
yeah,
doing
they
from
been
the
doing.
Start.
Yeah, so I mean, I think if
you can get him in 4 or 5 games a week as a hitter and he starts 25 games, even pitches, you know, 130, 140 innings of like the way in which we saw he could pitch like that. That's ridiculous. I mean, basically, yeah, you're adding two 7-win players to the
yeah.
roster from last year.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that. And I mean, we're all dying for Trout to make the playoffs. Like,
I mean,
one, unless you're an NL or AL West fan, doesn't want that.
How sweet would the Schadenfreude be if the Astros miss the playoffs and the Angels win the division?
Oh, it'd be so great, right?
Everyone, and then lose to the Yankees.
Yeah, get destroyed by the Yankees. But I think, I mean, that's going to be like a fun subplot of the season because I think really, truly, everybody that doesn't have a stake in that division is going to be rooting for the Angels to beat the Astros.
Yeah, or even the A's. I mean,
or the Rangers.
The Rangers are interesting. I don't know if they're actually good,
I don't think they did anything that hurts their. I don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't know if you're a Rangers fan if you're, like, confident they have a plan.
I mean, I think they were, like, already stuck in between
yeah.
in a way, right? They had, like, Minor and Lynn on these pretty good deals, and they were both great last year. They have a lot of mid-career
yeah.
talent in terms of, like, you know, everybody from Elvis Andrews to Joey Gallo, right? That's sort of the spectrum of, like, older guys to younger guys
mm-hmm.
who are good. Ish.
Yeah. I mean, Gallo took a step forward last year.
Yeah. I mean, Gallo was
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy,
yeah.
he'll be presumably great again. So
yeah.
they have, but they don't, I don't know that they have like the farm system like
no.
that the Padres do. So it's like, what else are you going to do besides like, okay, we'll try to be good this year and next year and
yeah.
then we'll reevaluate.
It almost feels like what the Reds kind of did like a year or two ago
yeah.
and then what the Pirates seem like they did a couple times. Like,
yeah.
Like or the Rockies.
See if you can
yeah.
catch a little bit of lightning in
yeah.
a bottle, like put yourself in a position where if things are going well, you can add and you can try to make the playoffs. Or if things aren't going well, you can sort of sell off some of those.
I mean, Kluber is going to be Kluber, such a chip.
Minor,
right?
Yeah. Lynn. If any of those guys are as good as they can be, they'll be major trade chips.
I can't believe they got Kluber. But the nice thing is, like, they got Kluber to keep him from the Angels. Like, how the Angels didn't get Kluber is one of the most baffling things.
I mean, I guess, like, what I've read is that the Indians really like the reliever that they got from the Rangers, which seems crazy to trade Kluber for a reliever, but who knows? Maybe he's Aroldis Chapman, you know? Maybe
that's
it's
true.
Maybe or Andrew Miller know. Or something like that. Like
that's but relievers are so who
right.
knows?
But it but it seems crazy.
It does seem
that
crazy.
They didn't get a top 100 prospect but for Corey Kluber.
I like it for the Rangers. I think the Rangers will be interesting to watch. I think I don't know. And the A's, it's hard. Like the A's, there's no reason to think they can't be good. Like, they're a good team. They didn't get worse.
Mm-hmm. And the Mariners are terrible, but they'll make a lot of trades.
They'll make a lot of trades. Yeah, they'll do something. I think that division is going to be super fun to watch. I'm really looking forward to watching those 7 p.m. start time games here on the West Coast. I think the Astros-Angels games are going to be, like, super crazy.
Yeah, we'll have to try to sneak down to more Angels games this year.
Yeah, or like I don't go to a bar to watch them or something. I think that division is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I've always liked watching the Rangers anyway, and they have great announcers. For those of you who have MLB TV, Rangers are worth watching for the announcers.
Well, I have a.
You got a second one?
Similarly, this is my third one, I guess.
Oh, okay.
With the Twins, the Yankees.
Yeah.
But my third one is I have no idea who's going to win the NL East. After Donaldson did not go back to the Braves or go to the Nationals, I have no idea who, like, the Braves lost a huge piece. The Phillies have added Zach Wheeler and Didi Gregorius, but are still projected for less wins than probably the other teams.
The Nationals lost a huge guy, but kept a huge guy.
Yeah. But the Nationals are old. They're still the oldest team in the league, and they've only gotten older by adding, like, all these, like,
Will Harris,
Eric Thames.
Smith went to the Braves, right?
Went to the Braves. The Braves did do some bullpen stuff. And then the Mets. The Mets, you know, have the best starting rotation maybe in baseball if everybody's healthy. But they are once again embroiled in chaos, as the Mets do. So,
speaking of getting old, too, I forgot the Nationals signed Castro.
Starlin Castro, right? Yeah. So they have the way they filled the Rendon thing is interesting. Mm-hmm. They signed Castro and Asdrubal Cabrera. Wait,
he's only 29. Is that true?
Yeah, he came up when he was like 20 or something.
Yeah, I remember. He's been in the league since the 90s.
He's like a 3-time All Star, also.
And he might get 3,000
hits. Which is like crazy. Yeah.
If he plays enough, he can get 3,000 hits.
Starlin Castro, Hall of Famer?
No.
He won't get 3,000 hits.
No,
There's no way.
He won't get 3,000 hits. Yeah, it's a very interesting. Well, this is the same conversation we're having last year, only now it seems even crazier.
It's even crazier because because the Braves dominated the division, and then the Nationals won the World Series.
Yeah.
It's like almost even more unpredictable. Where like if either of those things had happened in isolation, you could go into the season saying like, well, obviously the Nationals are the favorite, except that they lost their best player. Obviously, the Braves are the favorite. They lost their best player. Like.
On paper, it seems like the Phillies are the best team, right?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely does. You would have said that last year.
I mean, they did add Wheeler.
And Gregorius, like, is an underrated addition.
That's true.
I
that's a really good addition. And just he was, like, superfluous on the Yankees at this point. But, like, if I had to bet or make a prediction right now, I would say the Phillies should win that division. But it's hard to pick against the Nationals, even though they lost Rendon.
Yeah. I would maybe go with the Braves.
Like, I mean, they dominated
the
division last year.
Even if they lost Donaldson. Yeah. It's like
because they're very young.
Yeah, and they...
In a good way.
Added to the rotation, they added to the bullpen, and they still have Acuna and Albies and Freeman. Yeah. It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like totally unpredictable.
I don't believe a lot in the Mets. I don't think the Mets are going to play a huge part.
I wouldn't say they are either, except like you could make an argument they have the best high end talent of any of these teams.
With, I mean, like, they have
DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Alonso. Like that, those are arguably the biggest stars of,
they probably
of any
have
of those teams.
Two of the best four pitchers, but then the other two are on the Nationals in that division.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know how you'd rank them, but you would probably rank.
I think it'd probably be DeGrom, Scherzer, Strasburg, Syndergaard.
Syndergaard? Is there anybody better than Syndergaard on any other teams?
I mean, versus his last couple of years, probably yes. Versus his talent level, like, his ceiling, probably not. I mean, Mike Soroka had a better year than Syndergaard last year.
Sure, and Nova did too.
Nola on the Phillies.
Yeah, not Nova. Yeah, Nola.
I mean, Wheeler could, but I think you would say...
They definitely... Yeah, that you're right. And then Alonso is Alonso. And I mean, I don't know. I think that he's better than Ryan Howard was, but I can't stop thinking about Ryan Howard when I think about Alonso. But then Howard also had like 4 good years. Yeah, so we can probably count on Alonso being
also
good next year.
I think Howard came up when he was like 26.
He was older. Yeah,
and
you're definitely right
Alonso
about that.
Alonso
was
22 or something last year.
And it's not fair to put Howard's lack of success on Alonso. And like, but that's...
I'm not
sold on him long term the same way that you can with other players. And Harper is, while I think he's still overrated and always will be, he is capable of like an 8-WAR season.
Yeah.
With Harper, I think the crazy thing is you never know when it's just going to click. It did once, and I think it could again. He's still young.
Yeah.
And so like if he has a great season, then the Phillies could win 105 games.
Yeah.
But then like also the winner of that division could have 93 games because they beat the shit out of each other and they can all go 9-8 against each other or whatever.
Yeah. It's
10-9 against each other.
Totally unpredictable. Yeah. I mean, I think when it gets down to it, probably so much of that division will depend on health. And that's something that we just can't project, right? Like if Scherzer misses 4 months, like,
I mean, Strasburg could go down too.
Yeah,
he has a history of it.
I mean, any pitcher but like all I'm saying is like if a major piece misses a lot of time for any of these teams, if Ronald Acuna misses 3 months, like,
oh, that'd
you know,
be like, that'd be
that's
going to
be a, it's going to be a huge blow and totally change the shape of the division.
Also, the Marlins, I think, sneaky are slightly better.
Slightly.
But they could, I mean, but they could steal
they
wins.
They did lose Starlin Castro. Future Mr. 3000 Starlin Castro.
But, I mean, they could steal wins. They could be a little more pesky. You know what I like?
Yeah.
In a way that
sure,
could be annoying. Like, I could see a team going... I could see one team
somehow
going,
losing 9 games to the Marlins and it being
going
very
10-9 against
hurtful,
the Marlins. The way the Reds or Pirates fucked with teams in the Central last year.
Yeah.
I feel like that could happen.
Do you have a final offseason takeaway?
Well, I think this is the first year in a while where I'm not going to have a team in the race.
Really? You don't think the Cubs are going to... They'll be in the race. Maybe not the title race, but the NL Central race, right?
You think so?
Sure. I mean...
It all depends on Ross. Do you think Brian's going to get... That's...
I don't think he's going to get
traded.
You don't
think he's going to trade? Do you think Arenado's going to go to the Cardinals?
That would be crazy.
Here's my big takeaway is if the Arenado goes to the Cardinals, then I think the Cubs are fucked. I'm not trying to be fatalist. I think like that's just like Goldschmidt and Arenado and then the rest of that good team that they have is like, and plus the Brewers are good. Like what evidence do you have that the Cubs are going to be better?
I mean, I guess the evidence would be that the Cubs were the most talented team in the division last year, and they underperformed. And
that's
the Brewers
true.
Have lost a bunch of guys.
That's true.
I mean, they've been good at filling holes, but they've lost a ton of guys, right?
I do think the Reds are going to be a little better.
They should be.
Yeah.
I think the Cubs will be in the division race. I don't know
I don't
that.
Think that... I don't think they're going to be like 70 and 90.
Yeah.
But like... Oh, man. It doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Bryant trade helps anything. Or maybe it's like a contract year thing and he has the best year he's ever had. I can't figure out
what they're doing with Bryant. Like,
I don't think he's happy.
You think he wants out?
I think he's still pretty mad about the late call up. The contract
manipulation. Well, I mean, they've obviously been, you know, litigating it and we'll find out more about it before the season starts. But like, I don't know. From the moment he was drafted and then became like a super prospect and then was immediately good, it's felt like, oh, he should be a Cub for his entire career.
I think that
and
was
that
true.
Doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
And I think Javi Baez getting better contributed to that.
And Rizzo probably too, right?
Sure,
like it went
yeah.
from Bryant being the star of this team to Bryant being the third star of this team.
Yeah, and part of that is injuries because like Baez hasn't really had a long injury yet, so he's he's been able to be the face. And I think Rizzo is just like such like a baby face to like wonder. Like he's like the perfect player to rally around. And like, so I think Bryant, there's nothing wrong with Bryant. It's a very, I've never heard anything bad about him and he gets perfectly fine interviews. But I mean, you have two players that are like perfect franchise cornerstone players with in Rizzo and Baez. And I don't, as far as like everything outside of play goes, like numbers goes. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
totally.
Baez is so electric and like is a superstar and like everyone loves watching him and like you never know what he's going to do. And on the base paths, like he makes people make errors just because they think about what he might do. And then Rizzo is like, as a Cubs fan at least, is like, you love him.
You're, and he's like steady.
He's like a teddy bear. And yeah. like Bryant's not neither of those. He's just like a really solid, great player that isn't necessarily great on defense. And like, so he kind of became the guy that you could get rid of if you have to get rid of one of the three.
Well, I guess that's the real issue, right? Is like they don't have to get rid of one of the three.
Oh, well,
like,
that's the annoying thing is that they're refusing to acknowledge that they can spend as much money as they want.
Right, exactly. And that... that's the most disappointing part of it, even as like a non-Cubs fan. But it's like even though this offseason has been like a lot healthier around baseball in terms of like the economic shape of the sport, like the Cubs and the Red Sox like bandying about trading these superstars and like saying they have to shed all this payroll and stuff is like totally infuriating and incredibly dumb and like... I would be pretty pissed off if I was a Cubs fan that they're like crying poor when it's like you sell out every game, you have this massive like TV deal, like new cable channel that you're starting that you own, like you have like all this revenue from licensing and like you won the world. Like it's like fucking insane to cry poor, especially when your family is well known for being political billionaires. Yes. Like this is so stupid.
It is very infuriating. And they're like, they're definitely top five. Maybe make an argument that they're like the second most recognizable franchise in baseball.
Yeah, certainly top five in terms of the value of the franchise. Like if the Ricketts sold it today, they'd make a huge profit.
It's the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Giants, Cubs probably, right? And there's no one that, and it's infuriating that they're not behaving like they're the one of those teams.
Yeah.
Especially, and the Red Sox are in the same boat, especially when the Yankees and Dodgers are acting like those teams. And so, and the Giants are going through a but it's like, just be the Dodgers. They've been look how good they are.
Right.
Just spend money. Like, do it. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And like, they have supposedly one of the best GMs or whatever he is,
front offices
ever.
And they're like, just doing nothing.
What's the problem? They're doing nothing, and it's like, whatever. Like, I don't. It doesn't really bug me that they didn't get Garrett Cole or whatever. But like, yeah, they can re-sign Rizzo, Baez, and Bryant.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason they can't afford them.
Right.
They can afford to find someone to replace Ben Zobrist. Like,
business sense, too.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that gets people to come to games is having good, recognizable players.
And then, like...
But I guess it's almost like they're doing too well financially, right? Like, they can't increase revenues because all their games are sold out. So the only way to increase profit is to
lower
payroll.
Yeah. Which it's so stupid.
Just the antithesis of running a sports
team. And then you have to look on every sports website I go to, and there's been at least one article that's like, the end of the Cubs dynasty, or the dynasty that wasn't, and all this shit. And they're not wrong.
Right.
It is very whatever.
Yeah.
Upsetting.
It's also like, okay, why the fuck did you shell out $170 million for Jason Hayward if you knew that you weren't going to spend money, or you wouldn't have money to spend on... Chris Bryant.
They didn't. The World Series changed everything. The motivation has disappeared.
Oh, because they won, they don't need to win again?
I mean, you can justify spending that much money to be the front office or the owner or the players that won the first World Series for the Cubs. Yeah. So I think the mindset definitely switched after they won. And you could see it. You could see it on the field that the mindset of how to run the organization changed once they broke the curse.
Yeah.
And I guess they don't have any interest on being... having a Dodgers like run, and it's very upsetting. Right. They're probably. I mean, they'll probably get to 80 wins, no problem. 85, pretty easily, around there.
I can see them winning 90 games. You know, like,
yeah. So it's not gonna be it, but it's gonna be really frustrating.
Yeah, I could see being super disappointed as a Cubs fan just by like the way that the last year and a half has unfolded. But I still think they'll be in the playoff race. I would say.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for bringing me around to that. Plus, Javi Baez.
Javi
Baez. As long as he plays 162.
Yeah.
That's a very
nice
bonus.
But if he plays even 161, his team is fucked.
I'm done. Royals only.
Man, this whole talk just got me excited for baseball season, which is nice after all the
talk. 2 weeks pitchers and catchers?
Three to four, but still close. Maybe this will be the year we finally get to Arizona for spring training.
I'm going to probably go. I'll keep you in the loop.
Yeah.
Because Katie's parents, my wife's parents live there. And I was like, we should go.
Yeah.
To a game. So you should come.
Absolutely. I'm down.
Great.
It's settled.
It's a date.
All right. Well, we will be back. I don't know exactly when. Probably during spring training. Maybe before with more Duck Snort. So we always appreciate you guys listening. So keep doing that. Keep listening. Leave reviews. 5 stars. Always helpful. Follow us on Twitter at DuckSnorePod. Thanks again to Boardwalk Audio and to Off the Bench Baseball for their support. Thanks to producer Joe for the theme music and to Moonbounce for the transition music. That's all we got. We're out. We'll talk more baseball soon.
Buzz buzz.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.